Battle that's in mode. We have been liberated. Amen. That is so good. All the set-apart students, would you stand, please? All the set-apart students, would you stand up? Let's give them a great big hand, everybody. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are with them. What they've experienced in these last 9 months, God, will be life-changing. Their lives will never be the same. We pray protection. We pray your guidance. We pray your peace over them. We thank you, Lord God, that they begin this journey of walking with you, and their lives will never be the same, for they have been truly set apart for your use. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Ah, that is so good. You can bring the house lights up if you would. Just give me just a couple minutes here. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Mark chapter 1 and verse number 9. And this is for everybody here, so I want to just speak into all of our hearts. Mark chapter 1, verse number 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." This marked the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, when the Father spoke his love clearly over his Son in an audible voice. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." This is the example of the Father's love. The role of a father is one of the most important roles on the earth. And I want to talk to you about the influence of a godly dad. The influence of a godly father. We live in a society that increasingly devalues masculinity and devalues manhood. And I want you to know something. Manhood is under attack in our culture and is being redefined by our culture. But no matter what, if you have children, if you don't have children, if you've not been blessed to be a biological father, if you don't have children, maybe you're young and you're male in this room, I just want to speak to your hearts today, and I want you to know that your manhood matters. Your masculinity matters. And every man right now, would you just stand up on your feet? Every guy in the room, just stand up on your feet. Let's give all of our men a great big hand. Wow, look at all the men in the room. Amen. Remain standing, and I'm going to read over you out of the Amplified Bible. This is 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. It says, "Be on guard, stand firm in your faith, in God, respecting his precepts, and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like mature men, be courageous, and be strong." And I speak that over every man standing right now. Everybody say with me, "I am a man." Don't say it like a woman. Say, "I am a man." Amen. Amen. Push somebody and have a seat if you could. Amen. I want to encourage every man to understand the role of being a godly father. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, "Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me." Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Let me show you a pattern of the Father's love." You know, we've got a crisis in America. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children with behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. Listen to these stats. This is 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent chemical abuse patients in drug treatment centers are from fatherless homes. 85% of all youths in prison are from fatherless homes. These results are shocking. When you listen to that, it's just shocking, but it's not surprising. It's not surprising. Malachi 4:5 says this, "Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." What you and I are witnessing on planet Earth right now is a curse being released over our generations. We're seeing a curse being released, and we need a revival of fatherhood in America. We need every man to realize we have a role to represent a godly man, to represent life as a godly man, and to stand before our brothers and our sisters and our nieces and nephews and our children and grandchildren and let them see a godly father, a godly grandfather, a godly man, a godly brother. And let me say this, that the role of the mother is so very, very important. It's not a matter of one role is more important than the other. What it is a matter of is that God designed the roles to serve in a compatible fashion. And together they reflect the nature and the person and the heart of God. That together we serve together to create in the children of this earth a godly role model. Listen, a mother's role will always be primarily in the terms of intimacy, care, and nurture. This is what a mother's role will continue to be. The mother's role will always be primary in that. And as a child matures, he or she will increasingly look to the father to be the role model in processing decisions and adopting values. This is a proven fact. And when the father is indifferent or inadequate, or even when the father is just not present in the home, what we find is the task of maturing in a responsible manner becomes harder for the child. Studies show that if a father doesn't go to church with his wife, 1 in 50 children will become a regular worshiper in church. When the father doesn't attend with his wife, 1 in 50. As a single mom, that can be discouraging. And you think, man, what am I going to do? Because I don't have that. I'm not afforded that opportunity. I don't have that. I don't have both parents in my life right now. And as a single parent, you can begin to say, that's just those statistics are overwhelming. But I want you to know something. Being God, you have to realize that God delights in doing exceptional things through people that love him. And when you look at your life and you're saying, I'm doing this on my own and I don't have the support, and what am I going to do? God said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. And God will come alongside you and he will help you to beat all the odds, to be able to stand and know that God is fighting for you and that you can do this and that God will be that source of strength for your family. You can beat the odds in God. When we're looking at this and you see all the odds, I want you to know the greatest kids in our church come from single families. Some of the greatest kids in this ministry through the years that we've been here, 13 years now, and I look back at some of the young kids that are here, and I watch how they have grown up in homes that were just single family homes, and they didn't have their biological dad by their side. But I look at them now and I say, God made up the difference. And I want you to know God can make up the difference in your life. It's difficult, and if you're doing it on your own, I know it's difficult. Statistics say that if a father attends church, even if the mother doesn't attend church, if just the father attends church, 66% of kids will stay committed to a local church because the father is in church. When a husband and wife both attend church together on a regular basis, 75% of the children become regular church attenders. Having a godly father is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And that's why you and I, we got to look at our lives, and my kids are grown now. I've got Riley that we're taking care of, and Riley's my girl, and I have a responsibility to be a godly father to her. I have a responsibility to be a godly father to every kid in this ministry, and so do you as men in this ministry. We have to learn and understand how important it is that we step up in the gap for the kids that don't have a father that's worshiping God, and you and I become godly examples to them, and we embrace them, and we love them, and we show them that they can do it. When godly men understand the importance of being a godly influence in the lives of those around us, we can produce a family that makes a difference. Listen, anybody can produce a family, but that doesn't make you a father. You can be married and that doesn't make you a mate. You can be a male, but that doesn't make you a man. The only thing that can make a difference in our lives is when we understand that we have a role to be a godly man and a godly father. The way we lead our life and the way that we lead our homes will affect our children and our marriages. It will affect the generations to come. So here's what I want you to do. Go with me to Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to close real quick. I don't have a whole lot here, but I want to share with you about how to become a godly father. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be in the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. I'm going to give you three things that will help you to become a godly father. The first one is this: a godly father leaves a legacy. A godly father leaves a legacy. How do we affect the generations to come? We have to realize that we are shaping our family trees. I am shaping my family tree right now. And I said this a couple weeks ago. You don't want your family tree to be a cactus. Huh? We're shaping our family tree right now. Moses is at the end of his life. He's led the children of Israel out of the wilderness. 40 years they've been wandering in the wilderness. And Moses is telling them, this is how you leave a legacy. God tells Moses in Deuteronomy 5:29, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. If you get God's word in you, you can leave a legacy for your children. It's more important than stocks and bonds. It's more important than leaving them a bank account somewhere to be able to live on. It's more important than a family business, that you leave a legacy in your life that your children can look and say, my dad loved God. I think it's one of the most important things that Sabra is at that age where she realizes and knows where her dad was and sees where her dad is. She can look back at her life and say, that was where my dad was headed. But I look at him now in the front row, lifting his hands and worshiping God. He's leaving a legacy for his children to say, listen, I may not have always done it right, but I figured it out that if I walk with Jesus, if I keep my eyes on the Lord, it doesn't matter how many failures I've had in my past, I can leave a legacy for you to follow in Jesus Christ. Proverbs 9, 10, 11, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by it your days will be multiplied, and the years of your life will be added to you. This is a promise in the word of the Lord, that if you get God's word settled in your heart, you can live a long life and leave a legacy for your kids. Jonathan Edwards was a part of the First Great Awakening in 1741. Many of you probably don't know who Jonathan Edwards was, but he was a revivalist, and he helped bring in the First Great Awakening. He preached the famous sermon back in 1741. It was called Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. It shook New England. It woke up a city. He was a godly man and a righteous man, and he left a legacy for his children to follow. A study was made of his descendants. They looked at Jonathan Edwards' descendants, and they studied 400 of his descendants. They traced their lives, and here's what they found. 14 of his descendants were college presidents. They were the presidents of major colleges. 100 of his descendants were college professors. 100 of his descendants, the man who preached the gospel, sinners in the hands of an angry God, 100 of his descendants became ministers and missionaries and theology teachers. 60 of his descendants were doctors. 60 were authors and editors of high ranking or editors of journals. Because of one man's decision to live a godly life, his legacy carried on from generation to generation. And what I'm here to declare over every man in this room, if you would get it sealed in your heart, if you walk the life of faith, we will leave a legacy for generations to follow, and they will know their God, and they will not be intimidated by the lies of this world. Number two, a godly father loves God with intensity. Loves God with intensity. Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Number one, leave a legacy. Number two, serve God intensely. Our children need to see us passionately pursuing God. Completely and totally in love with God. You cannot pass on to others what you do not have yourself. The last one, number three, Miss Gail, if you could come to the keyboard. A godly father lives with spiritual intentionality. You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional about living a godly example. You're never going to do it all right. But in Christ, we have the grace of God and the love of God that even when we fail and even when we mess up, we are intentional about saying, Jesus is the answer for the world today. He says, you shall teach this diligently to your children. You should wake up and go to bed, and everything in your life should be centered around God's love and God's word. It has to be a conviction in our heart, men. It has to be a conviction in our heart. It must be in you. If it's not in your heart, you'll have very little impact on these kids' lives. The word must be in you. We do what we think is important. We do what we think is important. You can't teach what you don't know. And you won't teach well what you're not passionate about. Must be a conviction. Can everybody stand up on your feet with me, please? Here's the truth. Here's the truth. This is so important. The church should be supporting what you're doing at home. This is good, dads. Because listen to me. Because some of you got it all mixed up. You think you support the church so we can do what you should be doing. And it's all wrong. We're here to support what you're doing at home. We're here to support what's going on in your home. And if it's not happening in your home, you need to check your heart and say, God, am I being a godly example for my kids? Am I passionately serving you? Am I intentional about my walk with you? We're here to support you. We're here to come alongside you and to partner with you. But you got to be the dad at home. You got to be the spiritual influence at home. It has to be a conviction. Everybody just close your eyes. You shall teach them the word he's talking about. You shall teach the word diligently to your children. You shall talk about it. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you should bind them as a sign in your hand. They should be on your frontlets between your eyes. You should write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. God's word has to be a conviction. And maybe there's people in our congregation right now are watching online. And you're not being the godly example that God's called you to be. Maybe even in this room right now, you're a son or a daughter that isn't pursuing God. Maybe you could have a testimony just like the girls that just shared. Your testimony could be the same thing, that you knew God, but you weren't walking after him. I'm going to tell you right now, nothing would make these girls feel any better than for you to lift your hand right now and say, I need Jesus. I need to get real with my future. I need to get real with the plans that you have for me, God. So I'm asking right now, if you're watching online or in your home or if you're in this room right now and you say, my relationship with God is not where it needs to be. This is between you and the Father. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody sitting next to you right now, anybody around you. But you just be honest with God and you say, you know what? I'm not where I need to be with God and I need to fix that. Would you just lift your hand right now and just hold it up to the Lord? Amen. Thank you in the back. I see you back there. Thank you. Thank you right here. Yeah, got you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I need to be. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I got it. Thank you, Jesus. It starts with a confession of the mouth. It starts with the words that you say. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. I want to begin right now with you a journey that is so sweet. I want to begin a journey with you that is so promising. It will help you leave a legacy for everybody following after you that you are a child of the Most High God. Everybody pray with me right now. Jesus Christ, I give you my life. I trust you with my future. Forgive me of all my sin. I love you. I believe you died for me, and I choose to live for you. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, I will never be the same. today is my day of salvation. Lift your hands and let's worship the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus.